TJ, we didn't plan to release an episode today. Why are we on?
Well, if people are listening to this on the day that we release it, they're listening on March 26th, which is the 34th anniversary of the murder of Elizabeth McIntosh. So we don't have a big thing, memorial thing planned. I think we both kind of feel like we're trying to honor her and remember her through the series and the work that we're doing. And honestly, most of the Elizabeth-related material, interviews that we've recorded, we've already used in the series for the most part. So we just wanted to acknowledge this day and acknowledge that it's a special day in the life of the series that we're working on. We didn't plan when we started releasing episodes. I hadn't even looked that far ahead on the calendar to see, you know, that it would coincide on a release day. So we just wanted to come on and acknowledge it.
We don't have a memorial service to go to report on. You know, I'm not sure if her family is doing anything in particular today, but we felt like it was important to just take a moment and stop and recognize the date and also recognize Elizabeth's life and just briefly hear from somebody who knew her and honor not just her death, but also her life and what she was like as a person.
So just recently, through sort of like a friend of a friend of a friend, I got in touch with Jack Davidson, who was at Covenant from 86 to 89. He graduated and was gone before the murder happened, but he knew Elizabeth. And he's the first person, you know, once I realized that this date was coming, I've been trying to get in touch with more people who knew Elizabeth, seeing if we could get anything else about her, any other remembrances or interviews. And honestly, we haven't been able to get anybody else to record an interview with us about it, but Jack was willing to go on the record and talk about his interactions with Elizabeth. So we were able to get that recorded in time. And so we're just going to add that to this bonus content just to have one more thing to honor and remember Elizabeth.
I was thinking back about it. You know how if you're a Beatles fan, the first time you meet someone who's from England, that kind of thing, and you hear the British accent or whatever. So, you know, wanting to be aspiring to be, you know, a Presbyterian minister, meeting Elizabeth McIntosh. I mean, she was the first person I met from Scotland who was really from Scotland. So a provincial like myself, you know, meeting her, it was who she was and where she was from. You'd be naturally attracted to her. She was, you know, fun to talk to. And for a while, I just would like to just listen to her talk, It was fun. And she had a wealth of experience already as a, she was older than I was. I was 30 something at the time. She was 50. So yeah, that was, I didn't even know how old she was, but I just remember she was older. And like I said, she was the first person I met from Scotland, from the Kirk. And that was wonderful. And she was, as others have so aptly described her already in this series, she was a very kind and very strong woman. She seemed like she had a lot of steel in her spine and could stand up for herself and had confidence. So, because of who she was and just her being from Scotland and all, and also knowing that she was at, I knew that she was at Providence Church, and that was a very different sphere sort of for me. But I remember one time after I preached in a chapel service that Elizabeth and I was talking with Elizabeth and Chris afterwards, and they were, I could tell they really understood me, and that they, you know, when somebody, you feel like somebody really connects with you and they get you, that's a great feeling. And it was, for me, it was great knowing that Elizabeth got me, that she understood me, and she was, you know, affirming me. So it was more than a point of maybe it was a point of vanity, but I just remember really being happy that she, what I said resonated, you know, with her and meant something to her. So her opinion, it mattered. And just the fact that she was a woman, I think that there was Covenant at the time had a lecturer that would come in from time to time. She was a lecturer in, I think she was a clinical psychologist, and she would come to speak to all of us who were seeking to go into ministry about problems in pastoral ministry. And, you know, it was a big deal that this psychologist, who was a woman, was coming in and lecturing a class. And there were some, you know, who didn't want to stand for it, as I recall at the time. So it was somewhat of a disruptive time, as I recall, at the seminary in terms of the place of women. And there were, as you know, there were people who were really concerned about it. And at the same time, they were trying to develop a track of ministry for women at the seminary. But Elizabeth was an example, even though I didn't realize it then. And she was an example in my own thinking. She and the others there had a place in my own thinking that would intersect with other things that would happen in my life later on that would lead me to the opinions I have now about men and women sharing equally in ministry that I didn't hold to then, but which I do now. I'm not saying she would have held to those opinions then or now, but I'm just saying that I realized looking back at her that she was an important influence in the life of the seminary in terms of her example as a woman who could talk theology and, you know, could study and talk theology with you. And just her interactions with her were very positive. And looking back on it now, I see that it was an important thing in my life, her presence. And Chris, and there was one other one. I think there was a missionary, a woman there who was a missionary at the time that was in class then as well. So just Elizabeth as one of those women was an influence in, I think, in my development as a human being and as a pastor.
Hello there. What you just heard was all that Ruth and I had planned for today's bonus episode. But then just yesterday, we were contacted by two different people who had things they wanted to share in honor of Elizabeth. First was Luke Davis, whom you heard from in episode 7. He graduated from Covenant Seminary in 1996. Today, Luke is a part of the Anglican Church, and he wrote an Anglican Collect in honor of Elizabeth. In the Anglican Church, a collect is a simple prayer meant to gather the intentions of the people listening. Here's Luke.
Almighty God, shepherd of your sheep who know your name, who weeps for the innocent whose lives are taken, we remember your servant Elizabeth this day as the shadow of her death still falls across our hearts. We plead to you for justice. We beg for your continued comfort. And we ask you grant us perpetual strength to honor the memory of this lady who is precious in your sight and who finds eternal rest in your arms. O Lamb of God, who gave himself up on the cross to make Elizabeth a child of God, in your name we make our prayer. Amen.
We also heard from Christine, who was Elizabeth's roommate at Covenant. She's the Chris that you heard Jack refer to a few minutes ago, and that's what most people who knew her from Covenant called her. Christine shared a hymn with us and asked if we could share it in honor of Elizabeth. The hymn is titled, "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." Written by Anne Ross Cousin in Scotland in 1857, it's based on the writings of Samuel Rutherford, a 17th century Scottish Presbyterian pastor. Christine told us that Elizabeth greatly appreciated Rutherford, and one of Christine's most precious earthly possessions is a small Rutherford book that belonged to Elizabeth. So, in honor of Elizabeth McIntosh, on this, the 34th anniversary of her death, here is "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for. The fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark has been the midnight, but dayspring is at hand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The King therein his beauty without a veil is seen. It were a well-spent journey, though trials lay between. The Lamb with his fair army on Zion's mountain stands, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. Thereto an ocean fullness, his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land.